Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We booty, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Wednesday night, back-to-back Wednesdays. When's the last time that has happened? Probably a couple years, I'd have to say. But anyway, we are back with a fair amount to talk about this weekend. Is there just like a ton of great fights? No, there's not a ton of them. Tyson Fury returns, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. Really, on paper, Hardy and Serrano, the female fight, is probably the best fight in my mind, anyway. There are some other fights that we'll talk about. Of course, there is plenty of news to get into with Canelo, with Spence and Porter, AJ and Ruiz, had that press conference in what they go to three different countries. So there's a variety of stuff that we're definitely going to get into, no doubt about it. Hopefully everybody is having a good week. It is hump day. I got some things accomplished today, and now I'm ready to talk about boxing. Like I said, Kovalev and Canelo should be announced very, very soon. Sounds like it's all but a done deal. We kind of assume that. Same with Wilder and Ortiz. Carl Frampton is in the news. Pacquiao and Mikey Garcia is in the news. Spence and Porter. You know, they've been having some shoulder programming of late, and it's been pretty effective so far. I really like what I saw, especially those two dudes. You know, Spence basically, he needs to kind of be drunk to talk smack a little bit. And Porter, it's not like he's known for his, you know, shit talk, right? So kind of an interesting combo. I think they've done a pretty good job. So there's a variety of stuff. Speaking of press conferences, Derek Chisora let it be known at a press conference for Taylor and Progre that he actually should be the main attraction and not these 140-pounders. So we're going to talk all about that stuff. Not a lot to recap from last weekend because nothing really went on of any kind of substance. There was like a highlight reel knockout that really in the end really doesn't mean a whole lot. But man, the guy who called the show, the broadcaster, he was freaking out like it was like Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, you know, the Rumble in the Jungle. I mean, he thought it was the Thriller in Manila. That kind of outcome. So, like I said, there's a variety of stuff. DAZN has a busy weekend, both Friday and Saturday. ESPN Plus obviously has some stuff too with Fury and whatnot. I said Ryan Garcia is coming back, but Ryan Garcia and Avery Sparrow could be an interesting fight as well. So we'll definitely get to all that. By the way, if this is your first time listening to the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. Okay, so it streams live, it archives right here. It's basically the headquarters. However, you can find the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast on I can't think right now, on iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, really almost anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find the Ropadope Radio podcast there. It, you know, hovers around, and the foundation is boxing, but we do have a football, and later on in the year, actually not the year, next year, we have basketball as well. But, you know, it started as a boxing show, and it always will be that. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. That can be found everywhere, including iHeartRadio. In fact, if you use your Siri and Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn, you can find the Ropadope Radio Podcast or the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. In fact, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net? That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's boxing, it's football, it's baseball, it's basketball, it's everything in between. Hell, they're even, you know, talking about the CFL, Canadian Football League, which is coming to an end here soon, I believe. Anyway, they got a great sponsor over there, I almost said my bookie. No. We're off that. BetDSI.eu. That's BetDSI.eu. They have a promo code TGT. That's promo code TGT, as in the Grueling Truth. And then one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have cut the cord, and all these sports are coming on now in the fall, and they're going to go all the way till June in the NBA, right? I mean, obviously baseball is year round, but if you're just, you just want something, some sort of cable, this might be the answer. It's not DirecTV Now. It's changed to AT&T Now. They have a 7-day free trial. However, the plans start as low as $50. That includes HBO for a limited time. You can stream it anywhere. No annual contracts. Try it out. AT&T Now. It's a live streaming cable, okay, cloud DVR. So they have all sorts of packages, 50, 70, 90, yada, yada, yada. I use it, just so you know. I'm not just slanging stuff that I don't use, although I have done that in the past. I'll just own up to it, okay? Let me just get a little drink of agua, and usually this would be the time that we would recap the weekend. But like I said, not a damn thing happened. I mean, if we're being honest, not a whole lot of stuff went down. So we're not going to really talk about it. We're not really going to talk about it at all. But, you know, some interesting stuff this weekend that we'll get to. But I think we'll start with some news. A variety of news out there, talking about press conferences. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, you had Anthony Joshua and Ruiz, the rematch. They obviously were in Saudi Arabia because that's where the fight's happening, because they put up, you know, a rumored $40 million to secure the fight there. They were in, of course, England, where Josh was from, and New York City with for Andy Ruiz in America. So there was a variety of things, you know, spoke about and questions answered and this, that, and the third. We do know AJ has lost some weight. Looks like he's slimming down somewhat. We found out that there isn't a rematch clause. For the rematch, so it wouldn't be a trilogy right away per se. And you know, Joshua, I played some audio a couple weeks ago with him and where his mind state is. I'm not crazy about where it is. You know, he keeps saying lucky punch. It was just a lucky punch, as if it was the same thing as Lennox Lewis. What happened to him? You know, as we know, the difference is Lennox Lewis was up in those fights, and then he got starched and laid out on the canvas and lost that way. He didn't get, you know, beat up slowly but surely throughout the fight. The third round was really bad, and it could have been stopped, actually, if you look at the end of that round, and Joshua not really listening at all to what the ref is saying. But we know those type of fights don't get stopped that quickly. I don't know. You know, Ruiz is just saying, you know, a lot of people think Ruiz is out there just spending money, and just eating whatever he wants to eat, partying because he had his birthday party and this, that, and the third, and he's not going to be focused. And it's just another Buster Douglas. And, of course, Buster beat Tyson in Japan. Humongous upset, although, you know, you go back to, what, the eighth round, and you look at that long count. I'm not going to get into it. I just did, didn't I? But Buster Douglas, the next fight, what was he, like 30 pounds more? Got that big check and just ate his way out of contention. I think Holyfield would have beat him anyway. I think it's safe to say. But a lot of people think Andy Ruiz is just a one-hit wonder, and he's going to lose. He's way out of shape. He didn't look – well, it's kind of hard to say, oh, Andy didn't look in shape, because he's never going to look in shape. You know what I mean? But he has 3 months. To get in great shape, and camp has started. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be okay, but I understand, you know, this whirlwind press tour that hasn't stopped seemingly since June. He met the Mexican president. Like, he's been everywhere. In fact, it's pretty cool. He was just, I forgot what penitentiary it was, but he just was at a, I was going to say jail, but I think it was a penitentiary. Which there's a difference out there for the folks that don't know, but he was taking pictures. He was there. I don't really know exactly what he was doing there, but that's pretty freaking cool. But a lot of people are just kind of like, AJ's out of his mind. He's losing weight. He's going to box all night. And I don't know what he's talking about half the time. And then the other half, the people are saying Ruiz is done, man. He's done, you know? Counting his, you know, his money and stuff like that. He bought a big house, bought some cars and stuff like that, of course. But, you know, ultimately we'll see how focused he is. Even a month from now, when you can maybe get interviews with him and whatnot, and just kind of see where he's at, how he's looking in camp, you know, how he's moving and stuff like that. Because he's actually a pretty good athlete when you see him doing, like, strength and conditioning. Not that it takes, you know, a full-on, all-around athlete to do strength and conditioning. But there are some drills that you can see that, you know, we know he has quick hands, but he has quick feet as well. He just, when you're filming the commercial for it and you're, you know, you got a belly hanging out, it just doesn't look good. But that's Ruiz, you know what I mean? And he's actually, now this is what he said, he wasn't sitting on a scale or he wasn't standing on a scale, but he said he's actually, you know, at a lower weight than what he weighed June 1st for that fight. And, you know, he had hydrated a lot and put on some weight, not knowing that he was going to get a fight, because he fought, you know, a couple months before that, you know, in June. This would be March, I think, he fought. And it was just one of those things where he said, well, I didn't want to lose, like, you know, 20 pounds or something like that right before the fight, and just kind of all of a sudden try to lose weight. I was in shape already as far as, you know, physical shape, not necessarily a specimen, but he had his wind, so to speak. His lungs were expanded, right? And so I don't know, man. I'm not going to overly judge this summer with Ruiz. I'm just not going to do it just yet. I can't do it just yet. I still got to see more. And as far as AJ, my thing with Joshua is, you know, taking off some weight, that's really not that big of a deal. Tyson Fury spoke to this. I've heard other people speak to this, that you don't want to change your body too much, though. Kind of like I was saying with Ruiz just a second ago, you don't want to make too many differences, you know, and change your body in one camp, like it's going to be good to go and ready to go for what you needed to do, you know, come December. So December 7th, right? So my thing is, if the plan for AJ is to move all the time, the whole fight, moving the whole fight, I don't like it. I don't like it, to be honest with you. Because, and it's really interesting. There's a couple of reasons why. First of all, if you haven't boxed on the outside and moved the whole fight, and it, you know, it's a 12-round fight potentially, obviously. it's a lot harder than you think. A lot of people out there, especially casual fans, will be like, oh, it's running. Why are you running away, dude? Where are you going? You know, it's like, well, you got a 20x20 ring, so you might as well use the fucking thing. You know what I mean? We're not in a phone booth. I always say that whole phone booth, you know, example is kind of funny because go in a phone booth, not that there's many around anymore, but you can't even throw a punch in a phone booth, let alone fight a whole fight in it. But anyway, when you're on the move and he may be even more active with his jab and just active in general with his output, his punch output, those two things, but especially moving, get you tired. And for a guy that doesn't have to throw many punches to get tired, it's troubling. It's a little troubling for me. Not only that, that's not his game to be the outside, keep you at a distance and like move my head and be slick. And I remember him reviewing, there's a video out there, him reviewing the fight with somebody. I can't remember. I would give them credit. I just can't remember who did it. I believe it was, God, I can't remember. I can't remember right now. Maybe I believe it was IFL TV, but actually maybe it was JD Sports. I don't know. But either way, they went through the fight, right? The before, during, and after, whatever. And he even said in that video, Joshua did, saying, you know, I was doing some stuff I wasn't really good at. And that was either brawling right there in a, you know, right up close, or being on the outside moving. And once he got hurt in the third round, the fourth and fifth, he really was on the outside moving. Now, I'm not saying he can't win. Joshua most definitely can win rounds on the outside. But, you know, seven or eight of them, I don't know if he can do that and not get clipped. Because even if he has the wind and his legs hold up and whatever, and I know he's got these big-ass legs, but it's different when you're moving. This isn't a squat competition. They're not doing a clean competition here. You know what I mean? This is different than just weightlifting, obviously. So my thing is, he just doesn't have good enough defense to be on the outside the whole time. He likes it at mid-range. He even admits this. He likes to establish some, you know, his jab and some good, you know, offense, and then put his hands together and slowly but surely kind of walk the guy down. That's what he's best at, that mid-range and walking a guy down. He's got really good offense, but that's usually a stationary target. Now, you could say Ruiz will be a stationary target, but he's a guy that can make adjustments. He's a guy that can duck under punches slightly like he did in that exchange, because remember that left hook that Joshua hit Ruiz was flush, dropped Ruiz. He got up and ate that right hand, humongous right hand by Joshua. Ruiz ate it and then made an adjustment. It was a slight adjustment, but he made it. And he ducked under that left hook because they were exchanging left hooks, and that's the punch that changed most of the fight. So anyway, interesting storyline. I just can't wait for this fight. Just bottom line, I cannot wait for the fight. We're going to stay on this press conference stuff. Derek Chisora just spazzed out kind of out of nowhere. Although Chisora talking shit on in front of a camera, I suppose can't really be classified as out of nowhere, because that's kind of what he does at times. He's a funny dude. Del Boy is. I like him. He's having a nice back end to his career, that's for sure. But he started spazzing out at the presser to announce a fight in the UK. You know, obviously Taylor and Prograis, Josh Taylor and Prograis, they're fighting to become one of the best at 140. Maybe they will ultimately be the best. There are some other tests out there for them after this fight. But clearly this is the biggest fight of them all on the card. But Chisora said, take me off the card if I'm not going to be the main event. What am I not the main event for? Pay me like I'm worth the main event. Basically, take me off the card or put me in the main event and show me the money is what he was saying. So it's kind of funny. I hear what he's saying, really, to an extent. We'll see if he does get tossed off the card, if he sticks to his gun, or was he just talking shit? It's not like Taylor is going to talk a bunch of stuff for the UK crowd. So that's probably what Chisora was doing. It's much to do about nothing, but maybe he'll get dropped from the card, and who knows, you know? Who knows? Now, there's probably just as many casuals going there, you know, for that fight, a heavyweight fight with Chisora, than, you know, Taylor and Progre. But it was just funny how he just, you know, started kind of spazzing out a little bit. It is what it is, though. No big deal. Some people are making it a big deal. It's just boxing stuff, man. Outside the ring, it's like I said, there's a mic in front of them. It's a camera, clickbait, whatever, dude. You know what I mean? It's just basically his way of saying, hey, I'm on the card. Don't forget about me. That's the way I look at it. But we'll see. Maybe he won't. Speaking of hype and lead up and all sorts of shoulder programming, Errol Spence and Sean Porter, as you know, fights September 28th. I'm actually I'm going to go to the movie theater with a buddy or two or seven. I don't know. I know for sure me and my buddy are going, but I'm going to try to get some more peeps to the theater. It's such a fun experience, man. It really is. And like I said, a majority of the people in this country live within, 30 miles, 40 miles, 20 miles from some sort of metropolitan area. It doesn't have to be the biggest city, obviously, but a lot of fans out there, some of them don't realize it, that they can take advantage of paying 20-something. Sometimes it's 24, 22, 20, matters your state. And I'm not talking about people, you know, unfortunately, in like Iowa or North Dakota or South Dakota. It's much harder, especially if you live like in Texas even. You know, there's big cities all through Texas, so, you know, maybe you're near that. But there's a lot of people in the outskirts in general. There's states that don't even carry it. But if you are a boxing fan and you are interested in the Spence and Porter, but you don't want to pay $75 for a full pay-per-view, you should go to the theater. That's all I'm going to say. But anyway, there's been a fight camp, Spence and Porter 1. There's been that face-to-face that is actually quite funny to sit there. You know, neither of these guys, like I mentioned earlier, talk a bunch of smack. Spence will throw something in funny from time to time when he has to, like after a fight or before a fight, or like what he said after Danny Garcia and Sean Porter fought and Sean Porter won. This was about a year ago, last September. And Errol Spence got in the ring and he's like, hey, Sean, we're really good friends. I love your daddy, but let's get it on. You know what I mean? Just some funny shit. You know, he does say some funny stuff from time to time. Usually he's got to be on one, have a couple in him at a fight to talk smack. Remember he went off on the Crawford fight and everybody at welterweight, basically besides Pacquiao, saying he's the A-side. You come to me, because he was all buzzed up, although that is true. He is the A-side. But at Porter, although since December, he's been – a little bit more in focus on somewhat mainstream boxing fan to an extent anyway, because of the show, the PBC boxing show. So he's a host on there and he does a pretty good job. I like him on there, but he's not the most talkative guy that's going to talk a bunch of smack, right? He's more of the, you know, hardworking, nose to the ground, just going to grind it out. I'm just a good guy, you know, that type of thing. But both of them, in that face-to-face, went at each other in a variety of ways. So it was actually really, really good. But Spence and Porter had a countdown last Saturday on Fox. So they had the Spence-Porter countdown. And that got an average of 640,000 viewers. Like, there's fights on ESPN that don't even do that. 604,000 people, that's not even including DVRs, really. You know what I mean? And that's not including the peak in the 30-minute show, but they put it on after Was it on after a game, then new local news, then that? I think that's what it was. I can't remember if it went right into it, but it did have kind of a weak Penn State-Buffalo game that actually on paper was weak. First half, it actually turned out to be really tight, but then Penn State blew them away. But that's a good – that's a great sign, actually, and it's just showing what Fox can do, which is something HBO and Showtime in a lot of ways couldn't do, but especially HBO, because HBO Boxing – ran the sport for such a long time, decades and decades and decades, until now they're gone, obviously. But it's just a good look. Just like if you're watching the Dallas Giants game this Sunday, you know, they had a little clip. They showed, you know, the names and then the date and all that for Spence and Porter, and they showed Spence taking pictures with Jerry Jones and talking to him and with his wife. And so it's just a good look, dude. It's nice to see boxing, you know, like get that mainstream attention. Once in a while, you'll see it on ESPN as well. I do like how, let's say on a Friday or Saturday, you're watching a different sport. And, you know, on not just on the bottom line, but it'll have like a graphic right on the screen. It'll be like UFC fight, boxing fight. So it's pretty cool. You got to love this type of exposure, because that's obviously what boxing has needed for a while. Speaking of that fight, Spence and Porter, I'm pretty impressed. You know, Sean Porter is going to go hard at camp. I mean, there's just no way around it. Dude's always in shape. He's ready to go. You know, how many times he showed up out of shape to a fight? Just doesn't happen. But of course he's going to take this serious, is what I'm saying. But the sparring he's getting is top notch. I talk about world-class sparring. So we had already known that he sparred David Benavidez, who's a 168 pounder, a big one at that, and he's got pretty good hand speed, got power, whatever. He's a competitive young kid that's going to come for you. He wants to test himself against Porter. So we know Sean Porter was sparring him. Now it sounds like he's going to, fight. He's going to spar Demetrius Andre, who's a long, lanky middleweight, who's got skills and whatnot. It just tells you that's quality to have Andre. You know, so many people have Spence and Charlo, and the fact – or they don't have them. They speak of them. I can't speak right now, but Spence and Charlo, you know, iron sharpens iron, the old saying. And you got to love two top, high-level, top-notch dudes sparring. A lot of times you see a camp and it's just like, yeah, he's pretty good. He's a prospect. He's a vet that gives me rounds. But nobody's really going to challenge the guy, the man, right? But Porter, I mean, Demetrius Andre and David Benavidez, among others too. But that just tells you how, like, it's not just taking it serious. He's actually putting it up a notch. He's raising the stakes in sparring. So that's a good look. That's a really good look. I'm really happy to hear stuff like that. Like I said, I didn't expect him to slough off during camp, but it just tells you Sean Porter means business, dude, all the way around. A couple of fights that have been talked about lately that seemingly will be finished. Carl Frampton and Isaac Dogbo for November 30th, I think in New York. Frampton, Dogbo. Interesting fight. I guess Dogbo's going to go to 126. You know, Frampton coming off a loss. He had that freak accident in his last fight. So this is a good fight to kind of get him back into the fold at featherweight and see where he goes from there. Obviously, he's with Top Rank. So as far as stateside, Frank Warren overseas. But stateside, he's with Frampton. He's with Top Rank. So Frampton has some fights on the table that could be very, very interesting. Another fight on the table, Juan Francisco Estrada and Cal Yafai. Sounds like they're going to get that done for December 14th, which could be interesting. And it sounds like the winner of that will be matched with Rungvisai. So, you know, I think Estrada will beat Yafai. maybe I'm biased. Maybe it's because Estrada is one of my favorite fighters in this generation right now. But I think he'll get the job done. And I really want to see that Rungvisai Estrada trilogy is what I really want to see. What else we got? Oh, here's some good news. Shakur Stevenson and Joette Gonzalez avoided a purse bid. It was potentially going to happen September 14th is when that purse bid would have been called for, and they struck a deal. So it sounds like October 26th is when that fight will happen. That will be for a title fight. I believe those are the belts that – oh, wait. Hold on. Maybe Leo Santa Cruz didn't drop them all the way just yet. We know Leo's talking about going – to 130, but maybe he didn't drop him 100%. I'm not sure about that, but I know it's for a belt. I know it's for a belt. Oh, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? It's for the WBO, isn't it? Yeah, because Oscar Valdez went up to 130. That's what it was. That's what it was. So Stevenson and Gonzalez, Joette and Shakur, that's a good fight. That's a good fight for, you know, where both of those guys are at in their careers. I think that's a legit step up for both of them. Manny Pacquiao and Mikey Garcia are supposedly in talks, although if you listen to an Elliot Setback, did I say Elliot Setback, like Elliot Ness? Ellie Setback video, recently, Garcia said, you know, it's out there, and I said, yeah, I'm interested, but there's no lockdown negotiations going down. Now, maybe there is some, and he's just playing dumb. But he actually, he kind of compared it to that Danny Garcia talk, how he said, yeah, I'm interested, but the ball just never got rolling all the way. So we'll see. We know Pacquiao was eyeballing Mikey Garcia for that Spence and Garcia fight last March. So I like that fight. A lot of people, I saw a lot of people react on social media saying that Mikey shouldn't get that fight. He needs to get another win. But yet they like the fight itself. Or we're saying, hey, I want that Pacquiao, you know, I'd rather have the Pacquiao fight for Mikey than Spence, you know. So I don't know. I like that fight. I'm not going to sit there and, like, if he goes from Spence to Pacquiao, are you really going to get down on him and say, oh, no, dude, he doesn't deserve it, man? So here we go. Some of these people that say he doesn't deserve it, here we go. It's the same. A lot of them are the same people that always talk about, well, once a fighter loses for the first time, we shouldn't just cast him away, you know? But I understand people talking about, well, hold on, the guy got shut out. It's different. Well, he got shut out, but he didn't get shut out against some random dude. You know what I mean? He jumped up pretty high up there and tested himself. So I can't sit there and be like, yeah, he got shut out. You know, I think there's just a difference of opinion of how that fight went. A lot of people said he quit and he didn't try his hardest. But he made a few attempts at really throwing a bunch of punches. I shouldn't say a bunch of punches, but he made an attempt to attack Spence a couple of times. You know, his first plan wasn't working. He did go for it, but the guy was facing someone that had his jab going all night, that threw over 1,000 punches. The last four rounds threw over 100 punches. So it's not like you can sit there and do all this damage to somebody that's throwing 100 punches, and he's doing it with accuracy and a jab, and he's not just right in front of you just bombing away. I mean, Mikey took a bunch of punishment, well over 300 punches landed, and he looked hurt a couple times, but he never even went down. So some people think, oh, he didn't try to win in that second half. He just got beat up. Okay, dude, but you try to beat Spence in that particular moment, the last six rounds. See what you got, dude. He was trying to hold on for dear life, let alone asking him to sit there and make this huge rally on this Spence dude. Oh, he never really tried. Yeah, he did. He tried. Dude, it's just some guys, just they're just fucking badasses on Twitter. Just hard-ass dudes. No remorse unless it's their favorite fighter. Then it's like, oh, man, he was trying so hard, and he's a great, and this, that, and the other. You know, size-wise, style-wise, I like the fight. I like the fight. So if it's made, I'm not going to rip Mikey. Dude went from Spence to Pacquiao. Like, calm down. But I do understand the people that said, you know, I wish he'd just go get a win first. I get that. Or to fight at 140. I definitely get that. But fighting Pacquiao at 147 is a tad bit different. And it might be much different, not just a tad. Anyway, I'm going to get to Canelo and Kovalev and Wilder and Ortiz in just a second. However, some news is coming out. This one from Cop, Michael Coppinger, a.k.a. Michael Coppinger, the cop. He's talking about Robert Easter Jr. versus Adrian Granados. This would be at 140, and this would be October 26th, where we have a good card already in place. It's not 100% finalized, although I think it is, actually. It hasn't been announced just yet. Let's put it that way. But Easter Jr. versus Granados, sounds like Easter Jr. was having some issues making 135. And we know Granados was just at 147 because he was getting opportunities at that weight class. He was getting, considering where he's been at in his career, big money fights against names, Danny Garcia, Broner, Porter. Like, he fought a lot of dudes at 47. And I like that Granados is going to make a run at 140 now because that's where he fits. So Easter Jr., Granados, one guy coming down to a comfortable weight, one guy coming up to a comfortable weight, the way he tells it. And it's got to be taxing to get down to 135 at 6'1 or whatever the hell Easter Jr. is. I like that fight a whole lot, man. Talk about a crossroads fight right there. Easter Jr., Granados, sign me up. And, yeah, it's all but announced. Canelo versus Kovalev. Like I said, the announcement's coming soon. It is going to go head-to-head with a pretty big UFC card. DAZN can't be crazy about that. Because remember, to get a UFC pay-per-view, you do have to be a subscriber to ESPN+. And obviously college football and other stuff going on that night. But I believe, yeah, the World Series will be done by now, or by then, not by now. Hasn't even started the playoffs. But it will be finished by the time November 2nd comes. So that's a plus for them somewhat. But yeah, Canelo Kovalev going head-to-head with the UFC event. Kind of interesting there. But, you know, one day you hear there is going to be a catch weight. The other day you don't. One minute you hear there's going to be a rehydration clause for weight. Then some people say it's going to be straight up. This has got to be what they've been talking about the last little bit because they've had – we know they're going to fight in Vegas. You know what I mean? They're fighting in Vegas. So it's just a matter of time, and that's November 2nd, like I said. And that would also give them enough of a gap – pause – to to allow a full month to go by and people having to subscribe to Ruiz and AJ, the rematch. You know, that's the way it's lined up. So that's good for DAZN as far as not giving them both fights in 1 month, which wouldn't make a whole lot of sense at that point because you just had a Canelo in that Joshua Ruiz fight in 1 month. So that's probably the best part of it for DAZN anyway. But yeah, Canelo and Kovalev, November 2nd, as we know, this weekend, we thought that the fight would be happening this weekend on Mexican Independence Weekend. Somehow, some way, Golden Boy, DAZN, everyone dropped the ball on that. I still can't believe there's not a big fight with Canelo on the Mexican Independence Weekend. You know, it's crazy, but that's happening. Tyson Fury is in Vegas instead. And the reason why Wilder and Ortiz got pushed back was because they were going a month later, either in Vegas or in LA. A week later, November 9th. And no one really wants to go right behind or right before Canelo in boxing. It's just stupid. So the date I was telling you about here, November 23rd, seemed really strong. MGM Grand, it's just a matter of days or hours or minutes or seconds maybe. Who knows? Maybe it's announced right now. I don't know. But Wilder Ortiz, the rematch, which a lot of people are like, oh, no, he's not going to fight. He's not going to fight till February now. He's not going to fight. He's going to have one round in December or one round in May that, you know, he knocked Brazil's – well, damn near knocked his head off, but he sent him to a different level in space. But a lot of people are saying he's not going to fight. He's not going to fight. Just calm down, dude. Take a deep breath. Count to 10. Shit, count to 20 if it helps you. Take another deep breath. The fight's happening November 23rd. Like it or not. That about wraps up news. 646-381-4990 is the number to call. That's 646-381-4990. Maybe you got to go to the grocery store. Take the show with you live. Maybe you're stuck in traffic on the West Coast. Just tune in. Actually, it's hands-free there too, isn't it? You can't do that. Well, you can still do that through your phone or through your car. But anyway, 646-381-4990 is the number to call. You got to call within 11 minutes, 21, 20, 19 seconds, 18 seconds. You got to call in within that time to get on. Kind of a random day. Some people thought I was just assumed I was doing a show last night. That was not the case. So I'm not expecting – actually, I'm not really expecting callers, but you never know. So – there are some, you know, folks on just chilling. What's up? If you want to press one, join in. If not, that's cool too. No pressure there. Let me make sure nothing popped off in the last little bit news-wise before I start previewing the weekend. Because, you know, I don't know. That there's just really – there's only a couple of fights for me that are like a standout, okay, dude. This is the real deal fight. I like that fight. This is a good fight. Obviously, we don't have any, like, over-the-top, humongous fights because Canelo, you know, is not fighting. But that Ryan Garcia versus Avery Sparrow should be an interesting fight. Good step up for Garcia after he kind of moved laterally in the last couple of fights after having some tough fights, which I'm not ripping on Golden Boy for doing that. I think it's actually pretty smart. Now they're stepping him back up. And also, Heather versus Amanda Serrano in New York City, that is going to be a good fight. Like I said, Devin Haney and Tyson Fury return as well. We'll get to some of that. But like I said, let me see if there has been any kind of breaking news as we speak. You know, Bob Arum is going to say a whole bunch of stuff. And you know he's going to bring up a certain Swedish heavyweight from back in the day. We know that's coming. But because, you know, Tyson Fury's facing an unknown Swedish heavyweight, and he's going to try to relate, you know, a legend in the sport that happens to be Swedish back in the day, pulling up an upset here, yada, yada, yada. I don't blame him. He's a promoter. That's his job. But he claims that Fury, and this is Ryan Burton on Boxing Scene, he's reporting, that Fury did more subs than anyone on DAZN besides Canelo. How he would know that for sure, I don't know. But he said, well, he did an enormous number of subscriptions for ESPN in that first fight. I call bullshit on that. You know, that's pretty easy. I'm not, like, going out on the limb on that shit. You know what I mean? That's pretty easy. Because, come on, dude. Like, it's pretty easy. Like, they would, if he did an enormous number, they would have announced the shit. You know what I mean? They would have already announced it. So, It's just silly, but you know, you got to promote. You got to promote. You got to talk up your guys. I'm not ripping them for that. I'm not ripping them for that. But it's just kind of silly. Like, you know, two times really, ESPN kind of talked about subscribers and signups, right? And first of all, it was college football kicked in. All of a sudden, we had a report on, hey, this is where ESPN Plus is for the numbers. Over 1 million, I think, at that time. This is last year, right? Then the USC came along and, you know, it was their first show on ESPN with that ESPN deal. And it was, what, 500 and something, 530? I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was over 500,000 signups. Huge number, big number. So they announced it. Well, they never announced shit for Tyson Fury. So my guess is you had some casual fans, sure. Most of the boxing fans are already signed up. You know, it is what it is. I don't really I just don't really look too deep into what he's saying. But that is out there. That's what he's saying. Bob Arum, like I said, is going to be talking all sorts of funny stuff. He really is. It's going to be funny. But, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do, like I said. And real quick, let me make sure the cop, Coppinger, and I'm not saying, oh, he's a cop. Not that being a cop's, you know, bad or nothing. But let's see here. You know, also, I haven't mentioned, but Hunter and Kuzmin, a heavyweight fight, Michael Hunter. He's trying to adapt to heavyweight. That could be a good fight, too. That could be a good fight, too. I forgot to mention that. This is what I want to talk about. Jose Ramirez. So Jose Ramirez had hand surgery about 2 weeks after his fight, July 27th. He can't use it, you know, for six to 8 weeks post-surgery. There's potential he could be back in December. It might be 2020. I'm not sure if I cleared that up. But I think there is a little bit of movement on that. I actually think it will be January 2020. I don't think they're going to try to get him back. But it will be a mandatory against Victor Postol, which is a good fight for him. It's a good fight, coming off a big win over, what the hell was his name? Hooker. That was his name. Hooker. That Mauricio Hooker. Maurice Hooker. What else we got? I think that's about it for news. Pretty sure. But yeah, I did want to mention, that heavyweight fight because there, you know, there could be something there. There definitely could be something there. All righty. What was that? I was going to say something too, and I just plumb forgot. I'm sure it'll come back to me. I'm almost positive it'll come back to me. So as far as this weekend, like I said, on paper, that Hardy and Serrano, I really like that fight. That is going to be a barn burner of a fight. Serrano loves to fight, right? I mean, they both love to fight. But she's just active as hell, dude. Both these girls, women, that could kick my ass, by the way, they bring it. This is... isn't no pritzy, you know, cutie thing. And I'm not, I use the term cutie because that's a UK term for an outside boxer, slick boxer, right? A cutie. These girls are cuties, don't get me wrong, but they come to fight. These two come to fight. So if you're kind of I don't really like watching women fight, that's your own opinion. You can have it, no biggie. As long as you're not over the top disrespecting, then it's no biggie. You know, you don't like seeing women beat each other up, whatever it is. It should be the co-feature. It is the, I guess if you look at it like a triple header, with Haney and Abdulov and Hunter and Kuzmin, Hardy and Serrano for it's actually for Harder's WBO or WBA. I think it's WBO featherweight title, but that's a 10-rounder. Dude, that's going to be a good-ass fight, man. And it's in New York City. I think it's in Madison Square Garden, the theater. So it's in the smaller room, which should fit perfect. I'm really excited about that fight. Both of them have been known to be nice ticket sellers on the East Coast. You know, Heather Hardy used to be on the undercards of PBC shows. Serrano has too, with Luda Bella, you know what I mean? So when Luda Bella's doing those Barclay Brooklyn shows. So that's going to be a bomb-ass fight. I think Seriano's going to do it. I think Hardy's just going to get – I mean, both of them – I mean, when you're punching in bunches, when you're punching bunches, it – you're going to get beat up, right? You're going to get your eyes swollen and cut and all that. But win, lose, or draw, it just seems like Heather Hardy, her face gets affected. And it's not like she's over the top the home fighter, because Amanda has been fighting out of New York City as well. And she is Puerto Rican. So you can't tell me there's not going to be some Puerto Rican flags, some Puerto Rican horns. You know they bring out the horns. Gotta love the horns. Although there is always one dude honking that horn a little too. It's like, all right, dog, we got you. We got you. The Puerto Rican fighter hasn't even made a rally in a while, so just calm down. That is kind of funny, actually. I've been to one of those live events with the horns, and it's awesome. Until it's not. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm going with the Puerto Rican. I'm going with Amanda Serrano to beat Hardy. But this thing, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be a tough-ass fight. Both of them are going to be bloodied up. But I just think the cleaner punches, the more fluid puncher is Amanda. That's what I think. That's going to be on the zone. That's Friday night, by the way, September 13th. It is not Saturday night, September 14th, just to keep that in mind. I do think Michael Hunter will come through in his fight with Sergey Kuzmin. But that's a good fight. I'm glad that I mentioned that, because that actually is a really good fight. Hunter is the guy who was kind of like a nonchalant, like, whatever type fighter, you know, until he fought Oleksandr Usyk. And once he did that, all of a sudden a lot of people respected him, because he damn near took Usyk's lunch for a little bit. He almost bullied him. They were going toe-to-toe. Once Usyk adjusted, though, because sometimes Usyk, you know, he tries to, like, engage in a fight more than just use his skill. That's kind of something you can see him at times still kind of wrestling with a little bit. Should I be more exciting and become more popular, or should I win this fight? Well, he got hit a lot in that Hunter fight. But like I said, he adjusted, and then he was just laying the leather on him. Pause. He really was, though. And they should have stopped the fight earlier, in my opinion. But now Hunter's at heavyweight. He already made, you know, his heavyweight debut, look good. It should be a good fight. I got Hunter, though. And then Devin Haney against, what is that, Czar Abdulev? You know, Haney's coming off a spectacular fight. Well, I shouldn't say fight, a spectacular result. That's what I'll say. Just a highlight reel knockout. One punch, just like, oh, shit, dude, type of knockout. And I think it was actually, you know, he needs some of those. He does need some of those. Was it Moran? That happened in May. He had back-to-back decisions over some good fighters, some quality fighters. There was a time on his way up, Devin Haney, I'm speaking of, where people were like, yeah, man, the guy's got some skills. He's super young. I mean, he turned, you know, when he was 17, he turned pro. And you know, I just don't think he has enough power. I don't think he has the power. And now people are kind of falling in love with his power a little bit. And he's starting to hurt people. And usually hurting people is not necessarily a good thing, right, in life, but it is good in boxing. And so having that highlight reel knockout can do wonders for his highlight reel, right? And people will be like, oh, dude, he's really coming into his man strength, although he's far away from his man strength age. But still, like, it's good. You don't always want to just outpoint people if you can. You know, if you can knock a guy out, knock the dude out. You know what I mean? But I don't know. The only thing is, he better not get too comfortable in that role and want to put on one of those type of highlight reel knockouts every time out. You know, that I guess that's the only danger. But his opponent is pretty untested. In fact, didn't his opponent get knocked off the bill? Am I tripping? Oh, maybe he was the guy. I can't remember now. What the hell? This is for an interim WBC world title at 140, for those who give a you-know-what. But the dude he's facing, it, when you look at it, I mean, yeah, he's 11-0, right? 7 KOs. You know, he's from Russia, so he's 25, right? So he probably had a nice pedigree in the amateurs. He just has, I mean, he beat Henry Lundy. He beat Hank Lundy about a year ago. That's really a week ago if you go off the song, but I just made it a year ago. But other than that, he really – I mean, he's fought two dudes making his debut. Actually, he fought a dude making his debut after like six fights. So he's untested. My guess is that Haney's going to do his thing and handle his business. He's going to look good doing it too. That's what it seems lined up for. So I got Devin Haney, and I got Hunter and not Hardy. Haney, Hunter, and not Hardy, but Seriano. That is, like I said, on the zone, and that is Friday night. Now, Saturday night, we got Tyson Fury against Otto Wallen? I don't know. I really don't know. They got for Fury's lineal heavyweight title. I know a lot of people like to argue about that. And then the co-feature, they got Emmanuel Navarrete just because he's Mexican, basically. And I get it. You want Mexican fighters on the card, obviously. But he's taking on nobody. He's coming off a guy that was not even near his level, and now he's fighting another nobody. But, you know, it's a quick turnaround. It is what it is. Whatever. You get a Mexican on that weekend, it can't hurt him. Score a highlight reel knockout. I've been saying highlight reel knockout too much. Score a big knockout. That's cool. Gabriel Flores Jr. will probably do the same thing. It's smart to have him on that card. Carlos Quadras, another Mexican fighter on that card. So they did their due diligence there, I guess, right? Jose Pedraza versus Jose Zapata is probably the best fight on the card. But, yeah, I think Fury's just going to outbox the you-know-what out of this guy. I wouldn't be surprised if he carries him. No disrespect to the Swedish fighter. Maybe he won't be carried and he will bring the pressure and all that. You know, maybe. But maybe not. You know what I mean? I think Fury's going to carry him just so it looks a little better. I don't think he'll score a second-round knockout. Just something tells me that he's going to want to get more rounds in and yada, yada, yada. The biggest thing I'm looking forward to in this, to be honest, is the ring walk. What's he going to do for the ring walk on Mexican Independence Weekend? Tyson Fury, what's he going to do? Last time in June, what was that, June 15th? I don't know, something like that. God, that seems so long ago. I wish it was June 15th right now so we could have the summer all over again. Anyway, I'll quit my bitching. He came out on some Apollo Creed stuff, coming out to Rocky, you know, as Rocky, basically, or like the movie Rocky, when Apollo Creed, you know, went against the big Russian, right? And and he had James Brown Living in America bumping, and he had the whole big top hat, had the American, you know, get up and all that. It was hilarious. And that was cool because Fury, the first part of it, he came out in like a dark hoodie, and it looked like, oh, we got serious Tyson Fury. That was a surprise because this is a big fight, so why would he be all serious? Then all of a sudden, he throws off that hoodie, and he comes out full-fledged, had the women with the big feathers and shit like that just from the movie. It was pretty funny. If you haven't seen it, Tyson Fury, Apollo Creed. Just Google that stuff, and you will like it. ESPN Plus also has a card, Brad Foster and Lucene Reed. Oh, my gosh, him. I remember him. Sonny Edwards is on the card as well. You know, it doesn't really look like much there. DAZN has another card on Saturday from Carson, California. Jaime Munguia versus Patrick Alote. We'll see. It's kind of weird. This Munguia, it sounds like they're saving Munguia for Canelo. I can't fault them. It is what it is. If he's going to take his first loss, it might as well be against Canelo, right? I guess, right? Make him some big money, go to middleweight. But it's a little troubling because Jesse Vargas was willing to fight him, but he said, no, I need it at 155 or above 154. 154 is where he has his quote-unquote WBO title. And he won't fight Jesse Vargas, who isn't even a true 154-pounder. You could make an argument that welter, you know, he's not even a true welterweight, although, you know, he's big enough and he can fight at that weight class, obviously, but he just refused or whatever, one fight, Munguia I'm speaking of, one fight Vargas at the weight that his own belt's at. Said he's having, we know he's having problems making the weight, but he's going to fight old boy at 154. So it's kind of weak, if you ask me. Another female fight, women's super middleweight WBC fight, Cruz DAZN and Alejandra Jimenez. That could be the fight of the night right there, to be honest with you. Of course, there is some, Romero Duno, what is it, Duno? I think it's Romero Duno and Yvonne Delgado. I'm familiar with both those fighters. That could be an interesting fight as well. But the fight I'm really honing in on is heartthrob Ryan Garcia with his 3 million Instagram followers. I guess his Instagram is popping. Going against one-loss Avery Sparrow. And that could be really interesting. That really could be interesting. Sparrow fought not long ago against, what was it, like Florian or something like that? That was on the PBC. Well, not, I shouldn't say not long ago. It was a little while ago. It was probably like a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years. But for those not familiar with Sparrow, you should go check him out. It might be an interesting fight. Like I said, to me, it was apparent that his last two fights for Ryan Garcia, excuse me, I'm speaking of, it was apparent that they were just kind of like moving him lateral because he came off a fight that two back-to-back fights where it looked like, oh, dude, you got to go back to the drawing board. And he may have, he may have lost one of those fights. So, I mean, he didn't, but you know, when you look at it, and if you're being honest, it kind of seemed like he may have lost one of those fights. So why not move him lateral? But you still gotta, you can't just move him lateral for, you know, 5-10 fights, right? So they're going to take it somewhat cautious with, with Ryan Garcia, but I like how they moved him. I do like how they moved them, and they're being smart with them, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. That about does it for preview. Oh wow, I didn't realize I got text messages. Oh yeah, the cutoff happened, and I think some people thought I started the show later, because you get to stream the show for 2 hours live, and then there's an hour archive that can only be listened to live anyway on a phone. So through the number, well, not on a phone, you can do Skype too, 646-381-4990. But I'm getting some texts saying, "Hey, dude, I'm trying to call into the show, but I can't." If you want it, for those in that situation, well, shit, it's just, this doesn't really make sense then, because let me look at who's on right now. And, you know, press 1 if you want to join in, by the way, for those who are on. A lot of people that are on, it seems like, are the people that just kind of chill, listen to it, whatever you're doing, which I appreciate. You don't need to chime in or anything like that. You could just listen to the show. That's cool. But there are a couple of numbers that I don't recognize. So if you're calling from a different line or whatever this night, I just don't recognize you, that's cool. You know, it is what it is. Press 1, like I said. But I'm just sending out a text message to folks saying you could call me and I'll just patch you in. So I'm going to do that to Portland. I'm just reading his right now, and he usually closes the show anyway. So this might work out well. So we're just going to kind of hang out for a half a second and see if, in fact, sorry, I'm reading text messages while I'm doing a show. Probably the best thing, huh? We'll see. We'll see if, in fact, he calls in. If not, I'm going to shut this freaking thing down. I might as well go by boxing scene real quick and see if any news has popped off, just in case. Any late breaking news, and it doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it at all, actually. So I'll just give him one more texture. All right, the live stream is over. So you can't call the normal number. I mean, you could call it, but it's not going to do you any good. You can call it all you want. So I think I'm going to shut this puppy down. If he doesn't contact me here in a little bit, he may be going to his spot, which, you know, makes sense. You know, I was talking to some people recently about Lomachenko. I meant to mention this anyway. And, you know, just like last week, we talked about Lomachenko. And you know, I kind of like to individually talk about fighters. And every fighter gets moved differently, right? Not every fighter can be Lomachenko and fight for a title in a second fight. And not everybody's going to need 30 or 40 fights like Chavez Jr. and Wilder and other fighters, you know, that took a while to get someplace. Even Leo Santa Cruz took a little while to get someplace, and then he was ready to step up to the plate. And so, and then there's levels. Once you've stepped up to the plate, then there's levels of that too. So I don't sit there and I don't like to just shower superlatives on, you know, all the fighters or even all the top level fighters. You know, a lot of people give me grief for my views about Terrence Crawford off of his resume. Some of those people that give me shit, cool, I get it. They just don't realize that's how I judge everybody. They weren't listening to the podcast when I was saying the same exact thing about Golovkin, when I was saying the same thing about other folks. Like, that's – it's just a prove it. I can't give you top pound for pound, hands down, no debate, no argument, based off a thin resume. I just can't do it. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Just like Golovkin. Well, Golovkin could have just, you know, gone up to 68 and fought Ward. And then I would have got a look at him against a high-level guy. I understand people were ducking him, you know, high risk, low reward. I get that. It was happening to Spence not long ago. But like I said, you can't just be the top guy if the resume's not there. And just because, like I brought up Adrian Broner. Now, Crawford and Broner are nowhere near each other in the ring. Nowhere near each other skill level. In fact, Broner, I never thought Broner was the most, or not the most, but a very skillful guy. Not to say he doesn't have skills, not to say he doesn't have power, especially at 130 and 135, and even at 140. He hasn't been beat at 140, right? Or below 140, I should say. Or no, yeah, he got beat. Yeah, he got beat by Mikey Garcia at 140. What am I saying? He had. And the reason why I didn't think Broner's all that skilled, and people say, oh, he wasted so much, dude. He could have been so much, and he was the next Floyd. That was a promotional thing. If you really saw Adrian Broner come up, and I'm not saying I scouted him since he was 9, but all you had to do was watch that fight on ESPN. It was an outdoor fight, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly. And it was on ESPN2. Could have been a Wednesday night fight at that point, maybe. But I believe it was a Friday night fight. And, for a chunk of that fight, he was getting outboxed. He was trying to outbox, oh boy, and he couldn't. He just couldn't. And I knew right then and there, it's Fernando Quintero. That dude. This is back in 2009, over 10 years ago. So, although he had, you know, that Ponce de Leon, that was another one that was tit for tat the whole time. That was a close-ass fight, dude. Super close fight. Really close fight. I thought he did enough to close it out. You know what I mean? Now, his best, you could probably say Gavin Reese is his best performance. But still, it's Gavin Reese. But my point of bringing up Broner, look at his last 4 fights. Manny Pacquiao, Jesse Vargas, Mikey Garcia, Adrian Granados. You can add Porter to that list. You can add Maidana to that list. I mean, he's fought a lot of fucking people. And I respect his resume. I respect the shit out of his resume. Win, lose, or draw, I respect his resume. And, you know, I can't sit there and tell you Canelo's number one for sure. But based off resume, it's not even close. But we all know there's a couple of fights. You could pick out one fight, whether it's Arislandi Lara, which personally I think could have been a draw because neither guy did enough to win. That's my personal opinion. You could pick out Austin Trout. That kind of felt like a draw, right? Live. I watched it a couple more times. I did have that knockout being the reason why Canelo won the fight. But obviously the first Golovkin fight. Probably should have lost that fight. I had him winning the second one, but it was a tight-ass fight. That could have been a draw, maybe. I didn't see it that way, but I'm willing to meet you halfway. So, I understand there, and he has a loss, but who's his loss to? Let's say, just like looking at Lomachenko, let's see, well, who's his loss to? Okay, it was to Orlando Salido. Now, a lot of people just throw that out, you know. Oh, they thought it was only his second fight. Well, shit, he hasn't had that many fights then. So is he a professional fighter that's honed his craft as in technique as a professional? if he has, which I think he has. In fact, you could see him, I say this a million times, you could see him making the proper adjustments in that fight. And if he just would have done those earlier and been a little rougher back to him, he would have won the fight. But you can't make so many, like, oh, and he roughed him up. Well, that's fucking Orlando Salido, dude. Well, you didn't think that was going to be a rough fight? And not only that, but if you want to go off the weight and stuff like that, didn't Floyd fight him at a catch weight? And what, if Canelo I'm speaking of, in his loss? And didn't Floyd, first of all, Mayweather is, you know, leagues ahead of Orlando Salido, obviously, style-wise, everything-wise. They're not the same fighter, but it's not even close. But wasn't Canelo a skeleton on the scale? Wasn't that the thing that the 152 is why, you know, he couldn't perform at all in that fight or whatever? I mean, we can go back and forth with that stuff. But when you look at the resumes, it's hard to deny Canelo. It really is. That's why I look at that Loma, Canelo, whichever one you say I'm cool with. Crawford eye test, yeah, right there. Spence eye test, yeah, right there. Shit, even Usyk, right? Eye test, hell yeah. And it's not even just an eye test because he fought some solid dudes. Now, I don't think Brites and Glowacki and the hell's his name? Some reason I'm drawing a blank, but I don't think these guys are A fighters, you know. But he wrapped up his division and did it cleanly, very cleanly. So you could say Usyk is pound for pound. So, I mean, I don't know. The whole thing about Terrence Crawford, a lot of people get down on me about Terrence Crawford. What, did I start on this Terrence Crawford shit? I don't even know where I started, ended, I don't know. But a lot of people get mad at me for the Terrence Crawford thing, and it's cool. I get it. It goes down on my DMs over this shit. That's cool. But at least I stay consistent. And it's just really the fanboys for Crawford that are coming out of the woodwork ever since he re-upped his deal with Top Rank to keep him on the opposite side of Errol Spence and Danny Garcia and all those. I don't think he signed that deal to keep him there. Don't misconstrue what I just said. That's how people do, too, especially on YouTube. Take a little clip, and they'll be like, oh, look, look. Yeah, you got to put it in context. My thing is, I test Crawford knocks it out of the fucking park. I think he's the best eye test. And that's saying something with Loma, because Loma's been beat. He's been dropped. He's been hurt. And at 35, it seems like, that's where he's topping out. That's what it seems like. So we're starting to see the ceiling on Loma at 35, where we still don't know at 147 yet. We just don't know. We don't know. But the quality of opponent that Lomachenko had at, you know, Gary Russell at 126, some solid fighters at 130, like even guys at 35 so far, it's just been – he's just fought a level up. Victor Postol is a solid fighter, man. He's not an A fighter to me, though. Going in, it looked like a 50-50 on paper, but, it, you know, once you see it, you're like, nah. And then you see more of him, too, Postol. So you guys could get butthurt, and you could sit there and get mad at me for saying, I don't know if Terrence Crawford is the pound-for-pound number one because of his resume. That's cool. And you're right, he can't help it. I mean, he could have helped it by not signing with Top Rank, but I'm not going to sit there and, you know, maybe he was getting more money on that side. Maybe he didn't even listen to an offer that came through. Maybe he did and it was a better offer. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to be the priority at that weight class. It's hard to be the priority at Top Rank, though, with Loma, Ramirez, and Tyson Fury. And nobody to fight for him either. You see what I'm saying? See, they're building people for Loma on ESPN and ESPN+. They're building fights. They got a fight coming up in December, right? Richard Cole May and Teofimo Lopez. That's a good-ass fight. That's a great matchup. That the winner's going to fight Loma. You know what I mean? That, like, they're building it, not just saying it when he's fighting, which is what they got to do with Terrence Crawford because they don't have anybody to fight him. That's, you know, good. Great, I should say. Whatever. Top-notch welterweight. So, Oh, yeah, okay. So I got a couple of text messages. Okay, it sounds like Portland was just going to He's just going to listen tonight. I guess there's some crazy flooding, man. So hopefully the people in Portland, and especially, you know, Portland, 503, hopefully they get that flooding stuff, man, figured out, man. That's rough, dude. That's really rough. We definitely had some flooding, you know, at the end of the, like, winter into the spring. We got a bunch of snow late January all the way through February. We set a snow record in February for Minneapolis anyway. And then it started to melt. So we had this big pile up of snow, and it started to melt, and the temperature started going up to where it started raining. So it was raining and melting, but the ground was still frozen. So that means you're going to flood. And there was some water that came in our basement. I've lived here for a long-ass time, over a decade, never any water in the basement. Not a lot. I mean, we got lucky, knock on wood. We got really lucky that, but, I mean, there was a lot of flooded basements. So hopefully they get that figured out. And, you know, definitely thoughts and prayers go out to everybody affected, you know, by these storms coming through. It's just crazy. These hurricane season, man. So, you know, obviously, it's really affecting people's lives. But yeah, that, didn't want to end on necessarily a somber note, but that's life, right? That's life. So, just going to check real quick. I'll probably shut this down. Just going to check that there's no late breaking news out of nowhere. You know how boxing Twitter will just pop off out of nowhere. Yeah, it doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it at all. So I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the busy fight schedule this weekend. Definitely a busy fight schedule. It's kind of a hardcore fight schedule. The hardcore fight fan would be like, oh, okay, I'm into that. Oh, let me see where Ryan Garcia is at. Okay, Devin Haney, let's see him again. Oh, Hardy and Serrano. Like, there are fights to watch, no doubt about it. And a lot of times, we say this throughout the years, but a lot of times on this kind of under the radar schedule, there's plenty of fights, like I just mentioned. There's not that it fight per se that the casuals will come out for, but this could be a bomb ass weekend and really just an underrated weekend where we come out next week going, yes, dude, that was awesome. This fight, that fight, who knows? Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the fights. I'll be back next week. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, if you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the whole bag, and when you become world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. I'm going to show you.